Hockey talk. Hockey talk. Hockey talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, survive.
I got to shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
It's 11:25 and it's Friday, so it's time to talk hockey. Let's puck it up on the Harbor One hotline with our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft, who is getting no sleep this week. Razor, how are you?
I'm tired. No sleep at all. But my morning was absolutely brightened by Fourier getting roasted for Dunsky. Absolutely brilliant. Oh, that was great.
I thought you would like that. Yeah, he kind of put me in my place a little bit, and I was going to say, I would never talk to him like I talked to you.
He didn't even.
No, I know.
It took him 2 seconds to come up with the promo to rip him. It was great. Oh, and no pushback at all. You're right.
Fourier. Yep. Oh, it was so good.
This dude's a monster.
Hilarious.
Dude's how big do you think Samoa Joe is? 6'3", 295?
Oh, yeah, 295.
Easily. Thick, though, and more island strength, too. That's the thing we never talked to him about. They island got island strength.
Yep, that's right.
So
they got moose strength in Canada, island strength with the Polynesians.
Yeah. And then, listen, I thought you would be cranky this morning. I thought, some way we would have to kind of, get you in the spirit of talking about hockey. But you feel like you seem pretty excited to kind of mix it up a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, I'm always excited to hear your voice, and again, it really brightened my morning. You getting put in your place, it was awesome.
Hey, Razor, has Fourier asked you to work in Dunsky on the sidelines?
It's a good idea.
I think we did talk about it maybe last season. I could try and do it. Especially, you know what? I can definitely do it Monday night. We have a 10 o'clock start, puck drop. I can work Dunsky, and no one will be paying attention.
Listen, Razor, come on, buddy. Let's go. We're trying to build a catalog here.
What is it, your music?
I'm going to put it on Spotify. Some way. Listen, you'll be my hero. I promise, whatever you need. If you can somehow slide that in, whatever you need, Razor, you got it.
Okay.
I will officially be your best friend. Babysit the kids, whatever you need. I got you.
All right. Have the tape rolling for Monday night. I've already got a couple ideas on how easily it would actually be to work that name word in.
So. You know what? You're right. And you're such a pro now that you can just get it's like prom night right in.
maybe for you. My prom sucked.
I didn't go. Yeah, so what the hell am I talking about?
They don't have prom in Canada.
Do they not have prom in Canada?
Oh, no. We have prom. So even you'll love this, guys. So when I was still in high school, we had grade 13. In Ontario, they called it OAC. So it was basically like a gap year. So you didn't necessarily have to go to university at 18. So we had grade 13. You would take a few classes. It was like being prepped for university. But, of course, our drinking age is 19. By the end of OAC, grade 13, most of the kids or half of the kids in high school were 19. So our proms had bars in them. We had a bar at our proms.
Oh,
and you would
God.
Get a wristband if you had ID. So you can imagine the debacle that would ensue at our high school prom.
Oh, my God. So there's not there's no teachers checking your breath or trying to see if you're hammered. They're at the bar
They're
with
hammered,
you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Correct.
I love Canada.
Correct.
What are we going? Jeez.
So we would be at the old VFW with the bar open, and that was our prom. It was a sight to be seen.
That is the best story I've heard today.
Pretty good.
That is great stuff. I mean, it sounds like a fire hall, down where I grew up, where all the coal miners would go and drink. Oh, my.
It was called Alhambra Hall. Yeah, it was a fire hall. Alhambra Hall. There was two stories. The bar was upstairs. It was exciting. We loved it. Prom was, the best thing ever in our high school. Usually it's kind of you got to get there. No one went with a date. Everyone went single, and you just had a party.
Yeah, you just mingled when you got there. That's a lot of Labatts. That is a lot of Labatts,
right?
Absolutely. Our guy Andrew Raycroft is with us. All right, let's get into the Bruins, who they head out west. They beat Edmonton 6-5, turn around and lose to Calgary last night 3-2. What were the differences through your eyes, Razor, in the last two games?
Energy level and the skating legs. Jim Montgomery talked about it after the game last night. The game in Edmonton was amazing. It was the game, one of the games of the year in the National Hockey League. Just back and forth, both teams flying around on the ice, both teams making a lot of mistakes, which is always makes sports more entertaining when there's a few mistakes. And for the Bruins and Charlie McAvoy and David Pastrnak to pull it out in overtime, that's a huge win. Edmonton's the best team in the NHL since December 1st, since November 15th. They had a bad start, but they've been rolling since. And then last night, they had a pretty tough first period. They got a break to tie it 1-1 with 1:20 left, and then they give up a goal in the final minute. And I thought they were done, guys. Like most teams, if you're playing back-to-back on the road and you don't get out of a period like the Bruins didn't last night in the first, usually teams smell blood in the water and they put the pedal down and that's game over. But the Bruins, it was a gutsy point last night. They've had some bad overtimes this season. I thought last night was a pretty good overtime. They went back and forth. They hit the post. They had some chances. Unfortunately, Calgary put it in at the end. But I thought last night was a gutsy point. I didn't mind the point in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned how good Edmonton was. And from an entertainment factor, you know, a lot of people are talking about how great that game was, even though it was so late. I don't know if a lot of people saw it. But you also mentioned McAvoy and – you know, listen, I don't know how many, you know, superlatives you can give about this guy and how good he's been playing. And I always think about him. He's the one guy that I feel like, you know, he should be trophy worthy, you know. And I look at how he ended the game against Edmonton, and that seems to be what's missing with him as far as, like, winning that Norris trophy.
It's going to be really hard for him to win Norris trophies. The way the league is set up, The three or four young defensemen that are in the league that are going to consistently push 100 points or get 90 points. I don't think Charlie McAvoy has 85, 90 points in his game. But what I do know is that 90% of the general managers in the league would take Charlie McAvoy over a guy like Quinn Hughes, who we're going to see tomorrow night, who's going to maybe get 90 points, could be the Norris guy. They would take Charlie McAvoy on their team before that because of everything else he brings and his full entire game. So I think it's going to be hard for him to win Norris trophies just because there's going to be offensive defensemen and power play points are just at such a premium, and it seems as though that's what the award is getting voted on. But for me, and as a former goaltender, I want Charlie McAvoy on my team more than, you know, there's probably, he's in the conversation of the top four defensemen in the league. That's how good he is, and that's what kind of level he's playing at right now.
Our buddy Andrew Raycroft of Nesson End here of WEEI with Gresh and Fourier breaking down the Bruins. And after last night's game, Jim Montgomery talked about how 3-on-3 has been a struggle at times for the Bruins. How do you see some of the overtime issues? Are they fixable? Is this something that Montgomery's really got to make a point of emphasis in terms of this team getting better, or is it more of a ride it out for the regular season type thing?
Yeah, at this point, you're kind of riding it out. You've 25, 24 games left. So they've been going to overtime a lot. That's maybe more of the issue, is that they're just doing it too often. You would love to see it, but on the flip side of that, if they went to overtime once every game the rest of the year, they're challenging for first place in the Eastern Conference. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I think at this point it is what it is. If they go to overtime 8 or 9 more times, I don't know how you really fix it. Again, Montgomery talked about being above the puck and not taking chances, and trying to be better at it, but I think it kind of gets set into your DNA by this point in the season, and fortunately, that you don't deal with it come playoff time, and that's really the focus for this group. And I think that you would like to see them find a way to get that extra point a couple more times this season, but it's not, I don't, it's not at the top of their list. They got to keep getting their special teams in order and building their 5-on-5 game much more so than 3-on-3.
I hope this doesn't take us completely off the exit ramp, but Jake DeBrusk's old man is a broadcaster in Canada. It's always weird whenever Jake's dad is talking to Jake or whatever, and they do the pregame thing. So, Razor, if a family member was in the booth when you played, how, like, would that add another layer of anxiousness, nervousness? And if you were in that Jake DeBrusk scenario, would your family member just completely rip the hell out of you like Jake's dad will kind of do every once in a while?
Certainly, I think any of my family members or friends would probably give me a hard time. There wouldn't be I wouldn't get any extra. That's for sure. It's that's mostly the relationship as most families. As we see with Jake DeBrusk, you're not on TV at that point. You're not getting anything extra. We see it with Jake DeBrusk. Every time he goes to Edmonton and Calgary, he plays great. He gets points. It's got to be an exciting and an energetic situation to be able to go and talk to your dad and see your dad sit right on the bench for one of your NHL hockey games. It's got to be there's not many situations, if any, that it happens, and it's got to be pretty cool. And I think we always get Jake DeBrusk best when Pops is down on the boards.
So we're talking to the Razor, Andrew Raycroft, and real quickly, so the trade deadline, just humor me on this one, because the odds are that Don Sweeney is going to make a move because he's made at least one deal before the trade deadline in each of his 8 years, right? So that's probably going to happen. You go back to what he did last year, Orlov, Hathaway, Bertuzzi, sent out Craig Smith, but also had a lot of picks to give up. So this year, I don't think that he has as many assets to move or to deal with. And I'm wondering if you think that's going to limit what he's going to be able to do.
I think it will, to a point. I think I'm not sure what the trade deadline looks like in the National Hockey League this season. And basically it's been Calgary and Vancouver have made two big trades to each other. No one else has done anything. And I'm curious what's out there. I'm curious what other teams in the Eastern Conference do. Salary cap's such a big issue this year. No one has any money to do anything. So those trades where you trade a draft pick for a guy who makes $5 million, I don't know how anyone does that. Now there's people smarter working the numbers more than me, so like it still could happen. I'm just curious, and I'm waiting for the first couple of deals to come through. All of that being said, the Bruins are going to make a deal or two or three. I think that you can look at maybe a prospect or two going. You look at a second round pick. Maybe it's a full hockey trade that they can pull off. Not sure what it is. Really hard to get a sense just because there's no market in the entire National Hockey League. And no one's really quite sure how it's going to look. But I do feel like the Bruins are in a position, and Don Sweeney's always worked the phones extremely hard to make a deal to try and make his team better.
Razor, is there one of those, like, just bottom feeder teams out there that has a bunch of cap space that ends up becoming the team that can help somebody make a deal? Like, is that a possibility where you're giving someone a draft pick to be able to take on this onerous salary, or maybe even they just kind of clip the guy and let him go? Is there a team out there like that that might be the third team that needs to get involved for a club like Boston to make some moves?
Yes, and that's the caveat. That's the little bit of the unknown. There are teams that can do it. I don't know exactly how it looks. So Arizona's lost like 15 in a row. They stink now. They were kind of in the mix, and they're typically the one that does it. When they were in the mix, you're saying, okay, what are they going to do? And now they're out of the mix. So you have out in the West, you have Arizona, Anaheim, San Jose, and Chicago. They're all done, dead in the water. Dunsky, they are.
Oh boy!
In the East, you've got Columbus, but they're good. They think they're a good team going forward. I don't know how much they just like sell off their players. So you're looking at those four teams where all the good teams are looking at to try and make deals and try and pick players off, because there's a lot of teams that are still in the mix, especially in the Eastern Conference. So all of that, that's just the kind of, my last two answers have been pretty long-winded in saying, yes, there are ways of doing it. Yes, there's some players out there worth getting. I just don't know how you do it and how you work them into your roster under the salary cap.
Yeah, just a quick look on SpotTrack, who does a decent job with this stuff. Columbus, as it says right now, has about $13 million in space. But to your point, Razor, they're kind of trending up a little bit. You know, I don't know if they're going to want to do some pass-throughs. And then you have Anaheim, Nashville. Chicago's the one team that really stinks. And they got about $8 million in space. They might be, I would say, one of those teams that might be able to help everybody out that doesn't have a bunch of dough. So, you're going to be, what, in Seattle on Monday? Is that right? Like, where's Waldo this weekend? How's this all going to work?
Well, yeah, so I'm at home, fortunately, unfortunately, I guess. We got the good news. Tomorrow night is a 7 o'clock game, so it's 4 o'clock Eastern time. Nationally broadcast Hockey Night in Canada, Vancouver Bruins tomorrow night. So I get a 7 o'clock start. So that is a wonderful thing for me. And then, yeah, they finish up their road trip. The road trip will be Dunsky Monday night, but that's a 10 o'clock puck drop. So that's a bit of a beating for all of us that need to work that
game. It's just so easy for you. See how easy it is? Now, that's it. Monday night, right? There you said?
It's coming Monday. Monday. Yep, perfect. Monday night.
Perfect. So when Razor in 2 hours is in the Admirals Club waiting to get on his flight to Vancouver or whatever, he's
not going.
Are you not going?
No, he's not traveling.
No, I'm studio. I'm working studio, so I'll be in Watertown until 2 a.m. Monday night. And
I thought you were going. Yeah, I thought you were going to be on the sideline there working in Dunsky.
No.
I'm at studio.
Even better.
I'm
going to It'll blow the Nesson people's mind.
I am going to text. I'm going to text Jaffe and be like, when he says Dunsky, just whack him.
No, Jaffe's going to try and do it also. Jaffe's going to feel like this is what all the cool kids are saying. Razor's so far ahead of me. Yeah, get Jaffe to say it, too.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, because he's Mr. Serious.
Yeah,
because he's so serious.
Yeah, he'll look over and go, Dunsky, what the hell is that? That's what I want. Razor, thank you, buddy. Hey, great chat as always. Hopefully we see you here in studio soon, pal. Thanks a bunch. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Thanks.
All right, thanks.